Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk about Super Bowl 54 as the 49ers lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Steve, it was about as entertaining a Super Bowl as you could hope for. And congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. But over here in San Francisco, I have to say, I mean, for me and a lot of friends and 49ers fans, it's really shockingly disappointing to lose a game like that. And I think there are a lot of angry 49ers fans dismayed over the play of the offense and the defense and the fourth quarter and the poor officiating that resulted in key calls going against the 49ers. And it's tough because you can say, yeah, this team's going to be back in the Super Bowl again soon, but you just don't know that. And it was an opportunity that was missed. What was your overall take on the Super Bowl? You were there. I'm sure that it was exciting to be there. But now that you've had over a day to sort of digest what happened, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it was. Miami actually, they did a great job. You know, the city, the stadium. I didn't realize. I kind of thought it was a new stadium. I didn't realize it was the old Joe Robbie Stadium that they remodeled.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did a nice job of putting a kind of a top on it. It looked good. The field looked spectacular. The game was wonderful. It obviously didn't turn out the way that that the San Francisco fans wanted. But I have to admit, I'm a little happy. I have to be a little bit happy for the Chiefs.
Sure.
You know, the Hunt family, the organization, the fans, Andy Reid. As some Chiefs fan asked me on his way out, he's like, "Come on, Steve, you got to be just a tiny bit happy." I was like, "Yeah, I am. I'm happy. I am happy for the Hunt family and the organization." So, bottom line to me, we didn't make plays when we needed to, both offensively and defensively. That comes down to something that we talked about all the time, is we didn't convert on third down on offense, and they did. We didn't stop them on defense on third down. And they end up with more plays, I think 71 or 72, than we did at 57. So exactly what we couldn't have happened or didn't want to have happened, because we knew what the end result would be.
I mean, things were looking great. It looked like you're going to win the Super Bowl. It really did. I mean, the way the 49ers were playing there in the second quarter, third quarter, when they outscored the Chiefs 10-0 in that quarter, it just appeared that if you could just get some first downs, maybe put another 3 points on the board, it would be a different story. And, you know, you wonder about why certain things were done. And when I think about this Super Bowl, the one thing I'm never going to forget, really, is the end of the second quarter, because two things happened there. There was a bad call, which we will get to. I think it was a bad call.
Yeah,
but especially the way Kyle Shanahan handled the clock there. What were you thinking when he didn't call timeout, when they were punting, and then all of a sudden, you have a chance to score, but you really kind of messed up the clock there by not taking the timeout?
You, you know me well enough after having done this for a few years that that was the first in my mind critical mistake. And yeah. I saw that little blur. I saw that little picture they have of John Lynch in the he was on television at that point, and he's signaling timeout, screaming.
Right.
Well, you can ask the people in front of me that I was screaming. We could have had the ball at so key third down. They throw the ball, which is fine, and we tackle them inbounds, which was perfect. Kept them from the first down with when I remember looking, going 1:41 timeout. Instead, we don't take it. We get the ball with a minute, 59 seconds,
I think it was. Exactly, 59 seconds, yep.
In my mind, major mistake. Now, I get that the pass interference, offensive pass interference, no question hurts. I mean, we go from, you know, first and 10 at the 15, maybe even closer, to
first and 20 at the 35, and there's only 6 seconds at that point.
Right. Well, there could have been 48 seconds.
Right.
Oh, right. And now you still have two timeouts. If I remember correctly,
you did. Yes, they had two timeouts.
You might still have all three.
I think they had two.
That's what I think. I think we had two. So I mean, 48 seconds, two timeouts. I mean, and especially in today's game, anything could happen.
Well, Steve, I go back to the beginning of the drive because, okay, you didn't call timeout on the punt, but you still had a minute, but then you run the ball twice. You're just going to run the clock out right there.
In my mind, you're running the clock. You're taking a knee, running the clock out.
Right. Instead of that Wilson play, which was a great play, he goes for 20 yards. Why not run that the first down play? But basically, Steve, it's a philosophy. Kyle Shanahan said after the game, he didn't want to give the ball back to Mahomes. And to me, that's playing scared and not showing confidence in your offense.
Exactly. He did just the opposite. What he said and his actions were just the opposite, because he was playing to give the ball back to them. Whether they got it back or not, he wasn't being aggressive enough.
Well, yeah, now, the Chiefs had three timeouts. They could call timeout, right?
Being aggressive enough doesn't necessarily mean throwing the ball. It means keeping the ball away from Kansas City, in my mind.
Uh-huh.
That was the first mistake. I mean, the pass interference killed us. It was a bad call.
I agree. Now that's got to be discussed because you and I are on the same page on this. A lot of people are not. They're saying by the letter of the rule that he extended his arm and he created separation. I disagree, especially when you watched it live, first time, no replays. It just seemed absurd. It's like, wait a minute, are you kidding me? He didn't push off. I mean, he had enough opening there. He was pretty open. It was a great pass, and it's just a great long pass play.
By the letter of the rule, yes, it probably is pass interference, but as we've discussed, pass interference needs to change. I mean, in my mind, when you watch the replay, they're hand fighting the whole way down there.
Exactly.
And when Kittle reaches back, he doesn't even touch the body of the defender. He basically is pushing the hand off of him that's holding him.
Yes.
If you look closely at it, Kittle's right hand is pushing the left hand of the defender off of him. So in my mind, that's if you're not going to call the hold, then that's not a pass interference.
No, and then he nudged him a little bit. But, man, I mean, with all of the contact that is going on in an NFL game in the Super Bowl, you're going to call that? Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
It was a bad call. You know, the other one later in the game in the end zone against Kelce, I get it. You know, the guy, the defensive back,
Tavarius Moore,
didn't necessarily
yeah.
touch him, mm-hmm. but you're not looking for the ball. You know, I get that.
Yeah, that to me was a good call.
Yeah, yeah, I get that one.
But that wasn't the only call. I mean, the officials, they missed an offsides on the Chiefs. They could have called a couple of roughing the passer, and I understand they were just going to let it go, but they didn't do it when Jimmy G got a helmet-to-helmet hit. They didn't do it when he was going out of bounds, although I watched that several times, and yeah, actually I wouldn't have called that either because he, you know, was getting pushed before he went out of bounds. So, you know, there's some questionable calls, but the worst one was the Kittle one, I thought.
I mean, they were. I thought for the most part they let it be, let them play, let them decide it, and that was good. I thought. I mean, there weren't really any holding calls, I don't think, on linemen. You know, they were letting them hit the quarterback when they were runners. I mean, the hit that Mahomes took live. In the stadium, you didn't even see the ball. Like it happens. I didn't realize he fumbled the ball.
Yeah,
I mean it happened so fast, and the hit was so hard that you're paying attention to the hit, and I didn't even see the ball fly out.
They really stuck him a couple of times. Not just that one, but yeah. I know. Yeah,
they did.
That ball came flying out. Sometimes it is just the way the ball bounces because Bosa got his hands on one and knocked it down, and Mahomes recovered it.
Yep.
That one goes out of bounds. You know, it's even the touchdown that Williams had. That was another one where his foot was out of bounds, but did he get the ball, across the plane before his foot went out of bounds? That was so close.
I thought, ultimately, I guess I thought on that one there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it, but I thought they called it wrong because I thought his foot was on the line before he stuck the ball out.
When I saw it live, I thought, no way. He didn't get that ball across the goal line when I saw it live again. But, the call wasn't made on the field. I mean, you could point to a lot of different things, and a lot of people are laying blame, which I don't agree with. And what do you think?
I'm not liking that. I haven't read a lot of stuff or watched a lot of stuff, but, initially, right away, somebody said, well, Jimmy G didn't play well. Like, come on, playing pretty damn well.
He was going to be the MVP.
I didn't see it on television, so I can't see where his eyes were and all that kind of stuff. I thought he played well. He made one mistake, period. I mean he shouldn't have thrown the interception. And actually, the interception, personally, I don't think it was an interception because I don't think he had possession of it when his left foot hits the out-of-bounds line.
That was another one that was interesting. I think he did drag his right foot. It was very close. He dragged his foot, and then he had the other foot.
I think his left foot was out of bounds first. On the replay, they showed it in the stadium. I didn't think it was an interception because he didn't really have possession of it in my mind
until he had one foot down and the other one went out of bounds. I know what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I know that was another one. There were so many plays in this game.
Looked at it.
Yeah. And that was one where he just couldn't get enough on it. I mean, he was being swallowed up.
He shouldn't have thrown it. Take the sack, right? He had Juszczyk out in front of him, off to his right a little bit. Should have just thrown it in the ground to him.
Yeah.
But that's the only mistake he made. And other thing, I mean, we played well. We didn't make plays both offensively and defensively when we needed to. But in my mind, bottom line. Now, again, I thought there were still two other mistakes I thought Kyle made that didn't help. But I'm sure Kyle can say, that a lot of guys made mistakes, but I don't think so.
What were the other mistakes?
The other clock management mistakes is, well, the biggest mistake to me in the whole game was, you get the ball back with a 10-point lead. You got 6 minutes and 15 seconds to go in the game.
Right.
However many millions of people are watching the game, whether you know the game or not, or I should say, all those that are watching the game and know the game, you have to run the ball.
And they did the first play, but then he didn't after that. Right.
Okay. Okay. And to my point, first and 10, he runs the ball.
5 yards,
What did we get? How much did we get?
Mostert for five.
And he almost comes out of it.
Yeah, he almost broke it. Yeah.
So, second and four, throws the ball. Huge mistake. Huge. You got to run the ball again. You're not throwing the ball in this series. Unless you have to, you are not throwing the ball in this series. He did it against Who do we run the ball eight times in a row? We needed to run the ball 8-10 times in a row, whether we scored or not.
Just like against Green Bay, right?
Game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yep. And especially when you got a back like Mostert, who really he can get you 5 or 6 yards pretty much every carry. Yeah, and he's not fumbling these days.
Kansas City, I give them credit. They did a pretty good job against our run defense, and I'd have to look at the replay to really see if this was their game plan, but I think it was. They took the strong side linebacker and put him over the right, basically stepped them up in the line and kept putting them over the right guard, basically trying to keep them from, one, from running strong side, and two, from running counter plays to the weak side, making it harder for somebody to block back on that linebacker. That was my observation, you know, standing in the stadium watching it. But they still couldn't really stop us. I mean, if we put our minds to it in that drive to run the ball, we would have done it, in my mind.
Well, one thing that was that 6 minute drive, the lead at that point was 3. Because remember, Kansas City had scored.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only thing I could say in his defense is that he felt they really did need to score there up 3, knowing that when Mahomes gets it back, he's going to score probably again.
And that's even more to the point of you're not going to throw the ball.
Because saying your best way to score is to run.
The best way to run the clock out is to run. So I thought that was, you know, we went 3 and out there. That was critical.
Then after the Chiefs took the lead, what about when the 49ers got the ball back and they were trying to come back from down 24-20?
We had the ball with two minutes and 45 seconds. We run a play, and then we huddled up. So the second, we barely got another playoff before the two-minute warning.
We
got it all. We went to a line of scrimmage with 2 minutes and 9 seconds on the clock. And we barely got it all, and we were a little discombobulated coming out of the huddle. And I just thought, you know, why did we not go on the ball? We could have maybe had 45 seconds. We should have had 3 plays off before the 2 minute warning.
Yeah.
You know, and in my mind, this was a game that we needed to run more plays than they did because their offense was better than their defense. So I thought that was a mistake, that we weren't prepared to go, or that we chose to not go 2 minutes.
Yeah, I agree there. You know, and we'll talk about some of the defensive mistakes, but I did want to get to, I mean, even with everything that happened, everything, Steve, the 49ers still had a chance to win if one pass is made. And I wanted to get into that pass that he missed to Emmanuel Sanders, because I think, this is just my opinion, is that Garoppolo let the moment get to him a little bit. He just was a little overamped. It's a Super Bowl. You know, I don't know. You tell me, Steve, how hard is that pass? It's not like threading the needle. I think he makes that pass most of the time.
No. A couple people asked me already. I thought it was a great call.
Yeah.
Great call. Great. It was perfect for the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's third down. You need something. You need something big. You're going for it on fourth down. Doesn't matter. You need something big. He does get behind him. If you ask some quantitative guy, my guess is that the percentage of that throw is probably 30% or less.
Okay, see, that's what I wanted to hear. I wasn't sure how hard that throw is. You've been in that spot. I don't know how easy that is.
That's a low, low percentage throw. Great call. I mean, I wish he hit it.
Okay.
I saw Jimmy take the 7-step drop. I knew what he was doing. He launched it. He put it where he needed to. He put it on the left hash because the receiver was coming from the left side. It was, unfortunately, 3 yards too long.
So it's not being overamped. It's just that it's a long pass. It's not the easiest pass to make. Okay.
No, just a low percentage throw. You had to take that chance. And unfortunately, again, back to the initial point, we unfortunately didn't make a play when we needed to. I don't think it had anything to do with Jimmy being amped. I'm defending Jim. I thought he played well.
I did too. He was having a great game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it made, you know, I mean, they batted a couple down there, unfortunately, at the end. The Chiefs, they did a pretty good job, I think, game planning as far as taking the middle away, that quick slant, those inside throws, because we don't really throw outside very much, not down the field outside. You know what I mean? We don't throw go routes much. We don't throw a deep comeback much.
No.
Most sideline throws are probably under 10 yards, if not right on the line of scrimmage. Even in the stadium, I saw him take that 7-step drop, and I thought, oh, he's launching one. Then I looked and saw Sanders was behind him, and I'm like, oh my God, we got it. Just a slow overthrow. I mean, it's not, I mean, if you went back in history, it's probably a 25% throw.
I'm really glad you say that, Steve, because that's what I love about talking to you, because you've been in a spot where you try to make a play like that, and people don't realize. I mean, they're going to lay blame. Everybody's looking to lay blame and overreactions, and I've actually heard people, there are media people out there say, oh, you know, the 49ers don't need to go forward with Jimmy G. Are you kidding me? I mean, stuff like that. It's just crazy.
Come on. Yeah, come on, people. He played well. I mean, yeah, he didn't run around and razzle dazzle like Patrick Mahomes, but that's not his game. That's not Jimmy's game. That's Patrick's game, and he made some plays like just a split second sooner than, I mean, the deep ball that he throws to Hill.
What happened there?
We just got lost in cover. He came all the way from the other side.
And Jimmy Ward turned the wrong way, I guess. I mean, it looked to me.
He turned the wrong way. Didn't think somebody was coming from that side. And I think it's Buckner is, I mean, he's just about to take him down, and he just launches it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Arm strength.
It's a hell of a play. I mean, and there, they needed, their
third and 15. Yeah.
They needed to make a play. They made it. To me, difference in the game. We didn't make that play. They did.
Didn't make that play. Richard Sherman got beat by Sammy Watkins on a drive later after that, and that was big.
You don't see that cover two fade route much anymore. That was a hell of a route and a hell of a throw. I mean, that's a perfectly timed route. I even in the stadium commented like, oh man, that was sweet.
38 yards on that one. You mentioned the pass interference penalty that was on Tavarius Moore. So those were the key plays. But yeah, give credit to Patrick Mahomes. He did deserve to win the MVP the way he played at the end. The Niners had him bottled up most of the game, though. I mean, they were playing great. It's a completely different quarter there. Total turnaround.
They played well. Yeah, they played well. I mean, hell, we had them for a sack once, and our two guys knocked each other off. I mean, it's just what it was for us, it seemed like.
Here's what 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan had to say about the loss after the game.
Tough loss. It hurts everybody in our room losing a Super Bowl. We had opportunity to win that, and we came up short. But win or lose, I mean, this today doesn't change how I feel about our team. I'm real proud of the guys, what they did all year. I'm proud of what they did today. Kansas City played a good game. They were better than us today, and we can deal with that, but we're obviously pretty disappointed.
Here's what Shanahan said about his strategy at the end of the first half.
They had three timeouts. It was 10-10. The last thing we were going to do was allow them to get the ball with three timeouts, especially with their quarterback and offensive speed, to go in there and score before half. Felt real good, 10-10, especially with us starting with the ball. Thought it played out all right. Thought we should have got points, but they ended up calling that PI on Kittle, so it took it away.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. We'll have more 49ers Extra after this from TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. So there are the overreactions, like I said, I mean, about Jimmy G or even about Kyle Shanahan. But I think you have to look at the big picture, Steve, about the whole season, what this team accomplished. You know, I just can't lay blame. It was a great football game. It could have gone either way. But I do think that when you hear people say, oh, well, they'll be back. Well, that's not a guarantee. I mean, you want to take advantage of your opportunities when you can.
That's never a guarantee. The good thing is, yes, we're a young team. There were a few alums there from the 81 team, and a couple of them commented that, you know, this is how we were in 81. We didn't have any superstars yet. But we had a lot of young, really good players, and, we were fortunate to go, you know, back to a number of Super Bowls. So, there was a lot of talk about that even amongst the family and friends and people in the organization. I respect the, and I was thinking the same way, but I respect the positivity of, you know, we are a young team. Yes, we hope we can get back there, but, I don't know if that's consolation for not winning the Super Bowl, but I mean, if you probably went back to listen to our first podcast, beginning of the year, neither of us, I probably said, "Hey, if we're 10-6, great right. to get in the playoffs."
I agree. Yeah,
you know, if somebody in Vegas would have said, "Hey, would you put $100 on the Niners to go to the Super Bowl?" In the beginning of the year, I would have said no. We've seen it happen. St. Louis was, which reminds me of walking through the sports book at Caesars in spring of 1999, and there was St. Louis Rams 100-1 to win the Super Bowl, and my buddy looks at me and goes, "Come on, let's put $100 on it." I said. No, we were just four. I was with the Rams. We were 4-12. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, there you go. They did. So it can happen.
Definitely.
But I wouldn't have bet on it.
Well, it is about staying healthy. And yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen from one yeah. season to the next. But, you know, and getting back to, you know, the blame and all that, and the analysts afterwards looking at, you know, every play, every, you know, Kittle was open here. This guy was open. He should have done this. He should have done that. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? All that overreaction.
That's really hard to swallow because most of those people have never stood in Jimmy G's spot. So, like I said, I'm sure if I went and watched the game film, yeah, I could go, okay, you know, Jimmy, what were you looking at here? What's your progression? And he'd be the first one to tell you that, yeah, okay, I miss so-and-so being open. But that's for the players to look at. And
these are split-second decisions. It's not – the game is not played in slow motion. I hate to tell everybody. It's played in fast speed.
It is definitely not. No. And again, I thought Jimmy played well. I got to see him on Sunday before they left on the team plane. I had 10 seconds with him, and I said, "Just do me a favor. Don't try and do too much." And he didn't.
And
what I mean by that is, you know, don't try and make plays with your arm. Now, at the end of the game, on the deep ball, he had to try. And I totally get that. But he's thrown to the open guy. The guy was open. It's a low percentage throw. You know, the only mistake he really made was trying to make that throw when he was getting hit. That was it.
And we mentioned the Shanahan mistakes, but on the other hand, I mean, he puts together a great game plan. He's got all kinds of cool plays, just like Andy Reid did. I mean, they had some really cool plays that were different. And, you know, you're featuring a lot of Deebo Samuel, which you really want to do. You can argue a lot of
play
things.
Play action early on, the play action game early on.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, he knew they were going to come in, stop the run. Play action game was terrific. I mean, I'm being critical of them in a few spots, but that's, you know, the bottom line is at the end of the day, we still didn't make the plays.
Well, yeah, and I think he's going to learn from, like we said, not being aggressive enough there at the end of the first half. People are going to talk about the two Super Bowls he's been involved with being outscored in the fourth quarter, 46-0. But you know that he can't just lay that on him. I mean, you know, some of those plays have to be made too.
Nah.
So I think overall, the guy's a great coach. I mean, he's an offensive whiz,
no,
and so it's really hard to totally criticize him. We're just kind of picking apart little things here, but he really had a great season.
And I think, I think in his defense, being the play caller, he needs, and I've said this before, he needs somebody who really knows the game to help him on the timeouts.
Yeah,
because he's not focused on that. And I say that because I've been in that role as the player, because I know the game, because I knew the game and was trained so well on the clock management by Homer, that when I was with Green Bay, that was Holmgren said, okay, yes, you're the backup, but your job is to help me manage the game. Because yes, he was a head coach, but he was calling plays. So you're always one play ahead of what's happening on the field. So you're paying attention to the clock, but you're not thinking about where do I need to conserve time? You know, because you can't get the time back. And that's that was something that I learned from Marty Schottenheimer from a defensive perspective. And he was just the head coach. He was not the one calling plays offensively and defensively, but he would always say, you know, he'd say to me, Bones, look, I'm going to use these timeouts on defense because we've got to get the ball back and defense will go three and out, but I might have to use the three timeouts, but I'm going to give you the ball back with, you know,
more time,
a minute and a half or whatever. There's going to be some time left.
Right. And you control it from there. That's the thing.
Yeah. So if he asked me my opinion, I would say that he needs, you know, whether it's another coach on the staff or John Lynch or whomever, but I mean, it's probably another coach on the staff that can help him kind of be in his ear, like, hey, we ought to be thinking about, you know, if we stop them on third down here, we should call timeout. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think you have to have more confidence in your offense and your quarterback. I mean, I understand the defense is really good, but I think in that situation, you got to go for it. You have to try to score every possession.
Absolutely. That's just, and I'll use Marty as an example again. The reason Marty, in my mind, could never win in the playoffs was because his philosophy was offense, don't screw it up. Defense will win the game. Special teams will score a touchdown for us. And in the regular season, that works. You can get to 10-6, 9-7, you know, 11-5 every year. But in the playoffs, you can't do that because you're now against the best teams that have good offenses, good defenses, good special teams, and you can't take that. You can't use that mentality. And in the Super Bowl, especially against the Chiefs offense, we had to try and score touchdowns on every possession. You know, I think it was Aikman that said, you know, for every 3 points is 3 points closer to you losing the game.
Exactly. That's good analysis right there. I agree. All right, to finish up on our last podcast of the season, you think about next season and the free agents. There's a lot of free agents. Sanders, Ward, Armstead, Mosley, Bourne, Mullins, Brunskill, Breida, Wilson, Dwelly, Garland, Blair, and Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then you have $21 million in cap space. I mean, Sanders would be expensive for sure, being a receiver. You know, a lot of those guys you want to bring back. I mean, it was a great team, so hopefully you can. But, you know, I'm not sure about the whole makeup for next year, but hopefully you keep it intact as much as you can.
Yeah, they're in my experience, there needs to be a little bit of change, because the team needs to, you know, recreate their locker room again every year. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of change. And with all those free agents, which I didn't realize, they're obviously not going out on the market to bring anybody in, I wouldn't think, because you don't want to spend that money. You want to spend it on guys that are already on your team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there'll be some hard decisions. The Emmanuel Samuels, Sanders, you know, that's a tough one because you got Pettis who is complete, basically non-existent. But I don't think you can get rid of him because, I mean, maybe you can, but he was a pretty high pick. There's a lot of decisions there that need to be made.
And for me, this season, the three players that really stepped up that I didn't expect, Deebo Samuel, for sure.
Samuels, no question.
Oh, my gosh. Just a great season. Raheem Mostert.
No question.
Mostert, who I thought should have been starting at running back in the Super Bowl, but that's just me. And Drake Greenlaw made that play against the Seahawks, and I just thought he was a guy on defense that I didn't expect. I thought Bosa would be great, but Greenlaw kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Two rookies, and then you – I mean, and Bosa, I mean, three rookies that were enormous, enormous contributors.
Yeah.
Bosa from the get-go, Greenlaw, you know, he looked good in the preseason. I mean, he looked like he could play as a rookie. There's a lot of guys that obviously contributed, this whole season and definitely a few guys that didn't really expect to. I'm most happy for Raheem for sure.
He was awesome. I mean, he just was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, most valuable. I don't know if you can pick a most valuable. Two of them would have to be Kittle and Juszczyk, and that's not just in the passing game. I mean, it's just making the offense go. We struggled a little bit when they were out in the running game, but Jimmy picked up the slack in those games. I mean, it's just defensive line the whole season was spectacular.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I actually saw Kansas City's offensive line stepped up to the challenge.
Yeah,
I would have to give them credit. Yeah,
give their whole team credit. Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, it's been a great season. I really enjoyed doing these podcasts with you. Look forward to doing it again next year. Sure, it could be agonizing here this week, just thinking about how close the Niners were to being Super Bowl champs. But hey, they got there, and it was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. I want to thank him for joining us every week here on 49ers Extra, and we look forward to more podcasts of the 49ers starting in September of 2020. And thanks to you for listening throughout a great season for the 49ers. A reminder that we have other podcasts going on. Our Warriors Dubs OT podcast runs every week with Ray Woodson as our featured co-host. And we have Inside China Basin, our Giants podcast, which has been running since 2011. That will begin in March. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks again for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.